Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of Misanthrope Radio.
Misanthrope Radio.
Pissy, pissmongering, fucking pisspot of the damned.
Misanthrope Radio.
International cream corn fuckheadery.
Misanthrope Radio.
Simply a dirty Jew.
Misanthrope Radio.
And as the young man knew full well, chicken fried steak couldn't fuck back. All it could do was be delicious.
Misanthrope Radio starts now.
In my attempt to build a multimedia empire on the back of Misanthrope Radio, I have come around to the idea of diversifying, using my voice in other ways to try to make a buck while I'm not making a fucking dime on the podcast. Getting paid to fucking podcast was never really in the cards for me. Misanthrope Radio is not exactly ad revenue friendly, if you know what I mean.
Cock and balls, dick, bitch, cunt, pussy, fuck, rape, murder, arson, and rape.
You see what I mean? There's no advertisers out there wanting to spend their fucking dollars on a show like this one. And that's perfectly fucking fine. I don't want to toe the line in order to keep advertisers happy. I want to do what I want to do here when I want to do it. But if Misanthrope Radio is my hobby slash therapy, and my regular job is my regular job, there's nothing wrong with side hustles. So I've been kind of dabbling in freelancing. I do the occasional TV or radio ad. I've started dicking around with imaging a little bit. I keep auditioning for video games and voiceover stuff for cartoons and shit like that. That I've gotten close a couple times, but I haven't really got there yet. But the medium I think I have the most potential to see some degree of success in is audiobooks. I think that there's a tremendous upside to narrating audiobooks. Is it tedious? Yes. It definitely is. I've done 5 of them thus far, none of which you would have ever heard of. They were not very popular books. But I've done 5 audiobooks to date. The work kind of sucks, but all it takes is really fucking hitting with that one audiobook, getting one audiobook or one author who really likes your work, or that one story that really resonates with people, and next thing you know, you've got fucking passive income like a motherfucker coming in. I'm not going to say you're going to get rich doing audiobooks, but it definitely can be significant money. Well, the biggest challenge that I've ran into in auditioning for audiobooks is I sound like this. This is what I sound like. And you may find yourself thinking, well, Lorenzo, your voice isn't unpleasant. Yeah, I know that. But nobody wants a fucking white guy who sounds like a white guy to read their fucking audiobooks anymore, unless it's some kind of self-help book or a book about saving money. I can get all those books I want, but what I'm looking for is fiction. You may be asking yourself who they are looking for, if they're not looking for a fucking white guy to narrate for them. People more and more are consuming audiobooks from independent authors and consuming them by the fucking millions. I mean, they're absolutely raking it in. I know an indie author in my neck of the woods who sells more fucking books off of TikTok than she ever did on Amazon. Isn't that some shit? I had a long talk with her about that, and she said TikTok has been the platform that is making her rich. Armed with the knowledge that indie authors are very much driving the literary train right now, and they're looking for women and black people and Hispanic people and anyone other than someone who sounds like he's a fucking Judeo-Christian white male to do their audiobook narrating, I thought to myself, you know, I have modern recording techniques. I have a modicum of talent. Why don't I just give them what they say they want? It's a running joke that the most popular genre of books out there right now are lady porn. I actually did a bit in season 1 where I was kind of mocking the fucking lady porn genre and how crazy it's getting. To say that they're blending fantasy with romance would be to put it mildly. Here's an excerpt from that episode. Julian comes around behind that tiger with two glass ashtrays and starts clapping the fucking tiger's giant sack in between those two glass ashtrays over and over and over again with brutal, crushing force. The tiger fucking roars in pain and pleasure and continues pummeling Tessa from behind. Well, that episode was the catalyst that got me thinking in this new direction. I'm going to give them exactly what they want. What they say they want, anyway. If I log into ACX and I'm looking at all of these voiceover opportunities and I run across one of these lady porn books and they say that they're looking for a young-sounding female to narrate and voice act their latest werewolf breeding kink fucking romance adventure, then I've used my knowledge of modern recording techniques and my considerable talent to give them exactly what they say they want.
His powerful wolf form pinned me harder against the rough bark, fur brushing my bare skin as the full moon lit his massive, throbbing cock, thick-veined with a swelling knot at the base already pulsing with need. I moaned and spread my legs wider, my pussy dripping wet. "Fuck me," I begged. He snarled and slammed in deep with one brutal thrust, stretching my tight walls around his huge shaft. Each savage pump drove him balls deep, the knot battering my entrance until it popped inside, locking us together. His hips jackhammered, knot grinding my G-spot while his claws dug into my ass. I screamed in ecstasy, squirting hard around his swelling cock as endless waves of orgasm ripped through me. His hot seed flooded my human womb. Fuck.
See what I'm saying? If you can't beat him, join him. Give them exactly what they want. They don't want the Judeo-Christian fucking white dude narrating their audiobooks anymore. And to be completely honest, how the fuck would I sound narrating that? Let me give it a shot here real quick. His powerful wolf form pinned me harder against the rough bark, fur brushing my bare skin as the full moon lit his massive throbbing cock. How's that gonna fucking sound? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Judeo-Christian white dude can't read that audiobook, so I give him exactly what they want. Another real popular genre right now is the gay romance novel. Big up-and-coming thing. So if you say you want a young-sounding gay male to narrate your fucking gay romance novel, I got you. I can do this. I give you exactly what you want.
His eyes darkened with hunger as he backed me against the wall, one strong hand sliding up my chest, thumb brushing my nipple through my shirt. "You've been teasing me all night," he murmured, voice low and rough, lips inches from mine. His other hand gripped my hip, pulling me flush against his hard bulge. I shivered, breath catching. "What if I want you to lose control?" I said it in my bitchiest, fucking most challenging voice. He smirked, leaning in to graze his teeth along my neck, hot breath sending sparks down my spine. "Then strip slowly. Show me how badly you need this cock," he said. My hands trembled as I obeyed, peeling off my shirt, then pants, standing naked and aching while his gaze devoured every inch of my naked form. He stepped closer, fingers tracing my cock, stroking once, teasing. "Good boy, now get on your knees." "As if, bitch." "But you know I did."
You want a flamboyantly gay man to read your gay fantasy book? Dude, I got you. I can fucking do that. Your boy Lorenzo has the talent, the skill, and the will to be whatever you want your audiobook to be. You don't need to fucking go on these long, drawn-out searches to find the perfect voice. Just call me. You want white Anglo-Saxon male? Obviously, I can do that. You want the fucking bitchy chick who's gonna fucking bang the werewolf? I can do that too, clearly. And you want the gay dude for your gay romance novel? I've got you. Let's just say, for example, that you have a crime drama that you need to be fully fucking produced with more than one voice. Look no further than your boy Lorenzo. I got you. Diamond trembled on her knees. makeup smeared, as Trail towered over her in the dim motel room.
Where the fuck am I money, bitch?
He snarled, belt already sliding through the loops. She whispered the count was short again, his hand cracked across her face.
Raggedy-ass, buck-ass, big-ass bitch, pussy-ass, crack-ass, hoe-ass bitch, cream-cone fucking pulled pork cornbread bitch. Where's my fucking money? I want my fucking money. I'm about to kill it and that fucking robin. I want that motherfucking money.
She quickly emptied her purse, cash spilling. Trell snatched it, counting every bill before stuffing it in his pocket.
Good bitch.
These are just a few paltry fucking examples of the range that I bring to bear on your audiobook project.
Come in here and sit down. My father was not a very nice man, and he did things that would be considered questionable in today's environment. But he did it all in the name of trying to make us into better, proper men. Now, he used to beat us, that's true. He used to beat us about the face and the breast and the neck and the chest and all about the head and the ass and, of course, across the genitalia. Our father used to just beat us unmerciful for any perceived slight or a failing on our part. But then sometimes he would have what he called man training, and my brother Sean and I did not look forward to that. It seemed crazy at the time, but looking back on it now, I understand what he was trying to do. There was this one time that he sat us down in front of him and he took out his giant fucking meaty cock and he fucking beat off in front of us. Of course, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't understand what beating off was, but that's why he was bringing us in there so we could see, because he said, you don't need a fucking woman, boys. You don't need a fucking woman to take care of your needs. All you need is Rosie and her 5 fucking friends. And then he fucking pounded, beat that fucking cock unmerciful right in front of us. No lotion, no fucking Vaseline and nothing. He said, you beat it fucking raw and you beat it fucking dry. So you build up the calluses. Because the world is a very unforgiving place for a weak man. And a weak man is one who uses lubrication when he's beaten off. And he fucking jacked that fucking pork sword and it fucking erupted with this white shit all over the room. All over the room. He was spraying ropes onto the windows and the fucking drapes and all over the carpeted floor. He even in his convulsions got a dribble of that shit all over Sean's bottom lip. And before Sean could even realize what he'd done, he'd instinctively sucked it into his mouth. And that one moment changed Sean's entire life trajectory. He grew into a fanook. Now, nowadays, they would call that sort of thing the deviant sexual behavior or pedophilia. But really, it was man training, except for Sean, the fanook. But for me, it was man training, and I understood, boys. And I went a long time before I allowed myself to get hoodwinked by some goddamn coos.
You see what I'm saying? I'm a one-stop voiceover shop. I can do any kind of audiobook you want. You have the world of literary voices at your fingertips. All you have to do is reach out to me. I will fucking narrate your audiobook no matter what you're looking for. I think I've illustrated that here today. I can do whatever you fucking want.
Another time he called us in for man training, and he had us take our fucking cocks out of our pants, and he handed us each a wad of toilet paper, and he had us rub all over and around our little underdeveloped wieners with this wad of toilet paper, and we had to do it faithfully every night before we went to bed, and we were rubbing, and we were rubbing, and we were rubbing faithfully every night before we went to bed, but we never dared question him, until finally one day my brother Sean, the Fanook, finally went to Dad and said, hey Pops, why do we do this thing with toilet paper all over our little wieners before we go to bed? And my father looked at him and said, it's to make your wiener get nice and big. And Sean said, how's rubbing it with toilet paper gonna make our wieners nice and big? And my father, who had been in the drink a little bit that night, said, well, I don't really know the science behind it, but it sure did work for your mother's ass.
I am a one-stop shop for all of your audiobook narrating needs. Can we really even deny that at this point? Look at the fucking splendor I've just laid in front of you. Splendor with a fucking U, like I'm British. Look at the fucking splendor that I just laid in front of you. And that's just me fucking around. That's just me without any real scripts to read. I come at you with a very convincing sounding young female who likes to fuck werewolves right off the top of my head. I come at you with the best sounding gay man of all time for your gay romance novel. I come at you with a narrator voice and a fucking black pimp for your fucking crime drama. And then I come at you with an old man telling his life story in biography form. What the fuck more are you looking for? God damn it. Will someone please give me a fucking audiobook narrating job so I can get this side hustle going? I don't know what more I can do to sell myself to you, you fucking idiot. How have you not already employed me? It's just so frustrating to have all this fucking talent and nobody fucking sees it. All they see is the white guy in my fucking profile picture and they go, nope. They're not willing to peel back the fucking layers and see everything that I have to offer. I'm going to ask you, the indie author, to look beyond the white face, to look beyond the proper diction and non-regional dialect, and to also look beyond the rich baritone. All right, on to the next segment.
Forget the wikis and the dry history lessons. This is Nerd Chronicles, Baked Lore. The Deep Dive podcast for people who prefer their multiverse history with a high-level perspective and a very laid-back vibe. We're unpacking the biggest stories in gaming, sci-fi, and fantasy, one puff at a time. Nerd Chronicles, Baked Lore, out now on all platforms. Hit subscribe and settle in.
Segment 2.
You know who I was thinking about the other day? Marilyn Manson. Remember that fucking guy, Marilyn Manson? Now, admittedly, I'm kind of out of touch. Marilyn Manson may still be out there doing his thing, putting out records, and people may love him. He may be more popular than he's ever been, but I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about Marilyn Manson in a long fucking time. I vaguely remember, now that I think about it, he was embroiled in some kind of fucking controversy. Some controversy that he wasn't going to be able to shake out of. I mean, controversy's always been his thing. That's how he made his money. That was his bread and butter. But I think he was embroiled in a controversy that he wasn't going to be able to shake out of. That would simply be a Google search away, but I don't really do research for Misanthrope Radio. I haven't in the past, and I'm not going to now. Why would I start? I just vaguely remember hearing somebody say something about Marilyn Manson got canceled some kind of way. But anyway, controversy was always his thing. So it's got to be pretty fucking bad if he did something that he can't shake out of. It's got to be pretty fucking gnarly. I mean, he was getting blamed for school shootings back in the early 2000s, Marilyn Manson. There was a time when he was the most evil thing on the fucking airwaves. And now you listen back to his music, and it's kind of fucking silly. What the fuck has changed in the world to where the most evil thing on the fucking airwaves or on TV 20 years ago is now a joke? I don't know. It could be that the world has devolved and gotten so fucking abnormally goddamn evil that Marilyn Manson's fucking garden variety evil seems just quaint and cute. Almost like a joke. Like, this is contrived evil. Obviously, Marilyn Manson puts on this makeup, and sometimes he has a bump instead of a cock like a fucking Ken doll. Oh, sometimes he dresses like Hitler. He's got two different colored eyes. He wears rouge, okay? That's quaint evil. That's fun evil. That's silly evil. In 2026, in 2006, 2004, 2001, You know, the late 90s, Marilyn Manson was the most evil thing alive. Church groups were protesting him. Like I said earlier, he was getting blamed for school shootings. The fucking responsibility was being laid at his feet, and now, 20 years later, he's a joke. What the fuck happened? What the fuck has happened in the world that Marilyn Manson is now a joke? I remember actually buying his album, The Golden Age of Grotesque, that came out in 2003. I remember buying that album because I thought it was good. Had songs on it like Mob Scene and The Golden Age of Grotesque and Slut Garden. Slut Garden. What a fucking name for a song. Slut Garden. But that was kind of always his thing, Slut Garden. I fucking love that. And then there was a song that he had. It was the first song on the album called This Is the New Shit. Now, Mob Scene was released as a single for airplay first, and then I think This Is the New Shit was the second release off the album. But I already owned the album by the time, you know, radio stations started playing that song. So I discovered it, you know, quite on my own. You know, with Marilyn Manson on my mind and wondering what the fuck happened to him, I pulled out the old CD fucking collection and I put in The Golden Age of Grotesque and listened to his song, This Is the New Shit. And again, I remember thinking at the time, what a fucking cool song. It had a groove and the guitars were fucking cool. And I really, really liked that song. Fast forward to 2026, I load it up and I sit there and I listen and I'm like, fucking goddamn, this was just fucking terrible. It's just a fucking awful song. And that got me looking at other songs of his, going back and listening to excerpts from the Marilyn Manson catalog, and it all sounds dated. It all sounds shitty. It's just not good, and now I'm questioning whether it ever was. Maybe I was one of those guys back in the early 2000s and late 90s who was into Manson just because my parents would fucking hate him. Now you should know, I have a learning disability. I don't have the ability to listen to a song and tell you what it fucking means. I've never been able to decode it. I don't understand poetry either. Nor have I ever tried to remedy it. I can remember the lyrics to hundreds of fucking songs, but I couldn't tell you what a single one of them means. I have no idea. Unless you beat me over the head with the fucking meaning. Like Michelle by the Beatles, probably about some fucking broad named Michelle, if I had to guess. So I thought we would take a moment to examine and hypothesize as to why Marilyn Manson's songs seem antiquated and shitty now 20 years later, using only his lyrics as the source material. I've arranged with a friend of mine named Nigel Carrington to come in and read the Marilyn Manson lyrics for you in dramatic fashion, and afterwards we will discuss briefly and see if we can find any reason why Marilyn Manson has faded into relative obscurity. The song that Nigel is going to do for us now is called This Is the New Shit, off of the Golden Age of Grotesque album from 2003.
Everything has been said before. There's nothing left to say anymore. When it's all the same, you can ask for it by name. Vavel, vavel, vitch, vitch, vrevel, vrevel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence. Blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan in, everybody sing along. Babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, sex, 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 and don't forget the violence. Blah, 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 got your lovey-dovey sad and lonely, stick your stupid slogan in, everybody sing. Are you motherfuckers ready for the new shit? Stand up and admit tomorrow's never coming. This is the new shit. Stand up and admit. Do we get it? No. Do we want it? Yeah. This is the new shit. Stand up and admit.
This is the new shit by Marilyn Manson from 2003. Babble, babble, bitch, bitch, rebel, rebel, party, party, Sex, 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 don't forget the violence. I just can't imagine why Marilyn Manson's faded into obscurity with fucking deep goddamn meaningful lyrics like that. Are you motherfuckers ready for the new shit? Stand up and admit tomorrow's never coming. Stand up. Do we get it? No. Do we want it? Yeah. That's fucking deep, dude. That's real deep. That's fucking deep as fuck, Marilyn. I just can't figure out why Marilyn Manson's faded away. With meaningful shit like that in his songs, really stands the test of time when you come at us with fucking songs like that. This is the new shit from 2003, Marilyn. And again, I don't understand the social or legal ramifications. I don't know what he's fucking going through as far as the controversy that he was embroiled in that he may or may not have been able to shake out of. And I don't care. I'm judging his music on face value. And all I know is that if you walk up to 100 fucking people who were alive and in prime music listening age in the late 90s, early 2000s, who have a reasonable fucking IQ, and you say, what are your thoughts on Marilyn Manson? They're going to pretend like they never listened to him. But it's bullshit. Marilyn Manson was one of the most successful artists in the world during that time period. Just like nobody admits to fucking loving disco, who was alive in clubbing age back in the fucking mid to late 70s. Nobody admits to fucking getting down to Staying Alive or fucking November Woman. Or anything like that. Nobody admits to being a Bee Gees fan from that time period, but there was a hell of a fucking lot of them. Nobody admits to loving Barry Manilow, but the motherfuckers sold 80 million records. Nobody admits to enjoying Oingo Boingo in the fucking 80s, but they were a fucking platinum artist. Nobody admits to going to see Winger in fucking concert in the late 80s, but all I know is they sold 12 million fucking records worldwide. I think I'm relatively safe now in saying the late 90s through early 2000s version of the Bee Gees is Marilyn Manson. Let's pick another song for Nigel to read. Let's see what else I can find here. Let's go on one of his older albums. From 1996, the Antichrist Superstar album. Let's pick a song off of here. One that you may have heard. Minute of Decay. Okay. Deformography. I don't know any of these songs. Tourniquet. Dried Up, Tied, and Dead to the World. Ah, The Beautiful People. Okay, I know that one. Let's click on that one and have Nigel do a dramatic reading of the lyrics to The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson and see if this gives us any clues as to why he may have faded into obscurity.
The worms we live in every host. It's hard to pick which one they hate the most. The horrible people, the horrible people. It's all anatomic as the size of your steeple. Capitalism has made it this way. Old-fashioned fascism will take it away. Hey, you, what do you see? Something beautiful or something free? Hey, you, are you trying to be mean? If you live with apes, man, it's hard to be clean. There's no time to discriminate. Hate every motherfucker that's in your way. The beautiful people, repeated 8 times.
It's really difficult to understand why Marilyn Manson faded away with deep fucking meaningful lyrics like that. It's all anatomic to the size of your steeple? That's fucking deep, dude. That's real deep. He's delving deep into the fucking human psyche with that one. It's all anatomic as the size of your steeple. Goddamn, Marilyn. Man, you're blowing my mind over here. I don't understand how you faded away either, bro. There's no time to discriminate, hate every motherfucker that's in your way? Fuck yeah, dude. Tell us all about whatever the fuck it is you're talking about. Worms or something, right? Worms that live in every host, or horrible people or beautiful people or apes. There's apes in there too. Man, that's fucking deep, bro. You're really delving into the problems in society or something, I think. Go, Marilyn, you do your thing. What the fuck? Have we lost our fucking minds? We must have been absolutely insane in the late 90s and early 2000s to buy into this fucking guy's horse shit. And I'm sure he's a fucking member of Mensa. He's probably a certified fucking genius or something, the way he wrapped the young generation of people coming up around his fucking disgusting little pallid white finger. He had us all licking his fucking platform boots. But 20 years later, the wool has been pulled back from our eyes, and maybe it's entirely possible that we're just cynical now because the most evil things that we see nowadays aren't people like Marilyn Manson, they're our politicians. Real villains don't wear fucking latex tits and different colored eye contacts. Real villains wear suits and expect our vote every few years. Holy shit. We've been exposed to what evil really is, and it's not fucking Marilyn Manson. But we believed it was in the 90s, man. Fuck. They hated his ass in the 90s. I think he got thrown out of Florida. I don't think he can go back. I don't think he can go back there. One thing I wanted to touch on here real quick. I have a real problem with one-upsmanship. I don't know if that's how you say that word, one-upsmanship. Did I say that right? I have a problem with one-upsmanship. See, I keep all these notes on my phone. It's all stuff that I think might be a good segment for Misanthrope Radio, and the overwhelming majority of them are good segments, and I just never get to them because I'm constantly trying to do better than my previous episode. I'm sure that that's some kind of fucking mental illness, but again, that could be construed as healthy growth or some shit like that. Like, I'm always trying to improve, but I'm not trying to hold myself to the standard of anyone else. I'm trying to beat my own standard every week. You would say that's growth or some shit, right? But I have this gigantic fucking list of like 200 fucking topic ideas that I just don't get to because I don't feel like they're as good as what I did the week before. And it's driving me fucking crazy. So I'm going to start rolling through this list. The Marilyn Manson thing I've been rolling around in my head for months, trying to explain to myself why the sudden, complete, and utter drop-off when he was one of the biggest draws in the world at one time, and now I bet he doesn't sell out casinos, but again, I don't know. I'm completely out of the loop. He might be hosting concerts on the moon for all I fucking know. I have no idea what he's doing.
Segment 3.
You know, in regards to that first bit that I did with the, specifically with the old man telling his autobiography in the most obscene and disgusting way possible, I feel it necessary to say that I don't approve of that sort of thing. It's not okay. And you know what? Nowadays, they would definitely consider that to be deviant sexual behavior and pedophilia. However, have you ever sat down and talked to old men, like wicked fucking old dudes? They all have stories like that. All of them. And that particular story I got from a real person. Now, I dramatized it a little bit to make it fucking ridiculous and obnoxious and fucking gross. But I actually sat down one time and talked to a guy who I was half-ass related to in some kind of way, whose father literally taught him how to beat off. It's like the dad didn't get his rocks off teaching him how to do that. He taught him how to do that in the same way he would teach him how to use a steel square or a tape measure. And maybe this sort of thing was fairly common back in the day. That was man training. Part of it. I can't fucking imagine that. Nobody taught me how to beat off. I figured it out on my own. But yeah, his dad actually sat him down and taught him how to beat off by showing him what to do. And I don't know, I guess what, giving him pointers? I have no fucking idea exactly how it all went down. I just kind of fucking tuned it out. But that's a fucking real story in a roundabout way. That happened. So yeah, Misanthrope Radio disclaimer, I don't approve of any of that shit. But I did feel the need to say that that is from a fucking actual story that I sat there and had an old guy wearing fucking double knit pants and a fucking snap button down shirt with his legs crossed sipping coffee. That's a story he actually fucking told. Not quite as graphic as that, but pretty fucking graphic. And he didn't even give it a second thought. It was just, you know, yeah, my dad taught me how to beat off. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. And again, the way he told the story and the way he made the instruction sound, it's like it was just, that's just what you did. You just taught your son how to beat off. All right, son, you're 13 years old. Come on in here so I can show you how to beat off. But anyway, thanks for joining me for this episode of Misanthrope Radio. Leave a review. Bring me cool people as you find them. Don't bring me any fucking twats who are going to get super offended by what we do here. We do a lot of things in a tongue-in-cheek and satirical manner that most people would consider off-limits to even chuckle about. And we gotta get away from that. It's time to get back to not taking ourselves so seriously, don't you think? All right. Until next time.